Consumed, a new episode of All Consumed with Chris Osborne and
Neil Davey.
And Neil Davey, where are we for
we
this
are
episode?
In Max's Sandwich Shop.
Max's Sandwich Shop.
The
Crouch Hill.
Oh, the joys.
Yeah, so you're familiar with this place. This is my first time.
It's a long time since I've been here.
Popular place.
Max Halley, you might know, he pops up on Sunday brunch on a regular basis talking about food. He is an expert of dirty food pleasures
and dirty food
and yeah, innuendo on his menu. And a lovely big sausage.
Okay.
So we just had the ham, egg and chips in his focaccia
sandwich.
In the sandwich. And
what is it? Dre's silky bechamel lasagna sandwich.
Yeah.
And some potato, a stack of sort of fried potatoes.
Scrubs with pickles and capers and dill and all sorts of stuff. It's just fun and good. It's good value.
Really good sandwiches.
They make the focaccia on site. Been going for years. As I say, Max has helped me with a couple of articles in the past. His sandwich book is brilliant. Fantastically eccentric.
Okay.
Knows his onions, knows his sandwiches.
Knows his onions.
So yeah, so good to be back.
Okay.
So it's good to be back.
Yeah, that's really nice. And we're here on a Saturday. We got here at 11 right as they're opening.
Yep.
The people in, it's packed here. I think we need to make this a quickie.
Yeah, we'll talk quickly.
This is prime real estate where we're sitting right now. I'm looking at the people outside and thinking, I just ordered not a great coffee, I'll be honest. This coffee isn't so great. Nowhere near as excellent as the sandwich we just ate.
Yeah.
But anyway, Neil.
Yeah, Chris.
So, good call on Max. I think it was my suggestion, but you were the one who were keen because you did so well.
It's alarmingly close to home, and I just never make it.
Yeah. But I've been, our last episode, you mentioned some things that actually I got into, man. So one thing was that film you mentioned.
Look at me, the influencer.
The influencer. You influenced me. And that was the, I watched that film, The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Yep.
Really sweet, fun.
Sweet film.
Watched it with my girlfriend. She loved it. It was fun, sweet, nice story, good acting. I didn't realize, maybe I just didn't pick up on it. What's her name? Key. What's the actor's name in it?
Tim Key, Kerry Mulligan.
Kerry Mulligan, yeah. Maybe I just didn't hear you say it last time I registered, but she was a delight. I've always enjoyed seeing her in roles. But it was a really great movie, so thank you for that.
Pleasure.
Also, I think you briefly mentioned Sinners.
Yes.
In our last episode, I watched that, and that's the only thing brief about Sinners. It's a really long movie. It feels a bit disjointed, but it's really good.
I think it's a fun one to watch. I think it's the sum of the parts.
Yes.
As opposed to, I'm not entirely sure why it's got the.
It's got a lot of nominations for Oscars, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so 16, I think. So it's a record.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, and it's good. I mean, the music's phenomenal. Michael B. Jordan is terrific. There's some brilliant, brilliant moments. There's some brilliant stuff. But yeah, I'm not sure it hangs together fantastically well.
You know, in fact, if they had done it as a TV series, it probably would have been like the greatest thing in years.
Very good point.
Yeah. But it was. I really enjoyed watching it. I've been meaning to watch it. It wasn't just you influencing me.
I'm glad because I would pass the thing I said.
Yeah. But, Mr. Full of wisdom when it comes to what to watch, you've seen having good entertainment recently.
Yeah. It's still on the Shaftesbury Theatre. So that theatre at the random end of Shaftesbury Avenue.
Okay.
The whole Bonanza Charleston Avenue. So just for one day, it's called. It was on at the Old Vic for a while. It's the Live Aid musical.
Okay. My girlfriend saw this, but I never did.
It's a really nice, very well done, very well performed, relatively small cast. I hadn't read much about it other than it's going to be very good, and it was about Live Aid, and had assumed it would be the music of Live Aid, or just a version of the concert put on stage. And it's the story of Band Aid, it's the story of the political climate at the time, looping in refrains from songs that featured in Live Aid, or from the artists that were involved in Band Aid and Live Aid. So it's very close. You might just get a couple of lines here and there from a song, Yeah, so it kind of dropped
in. They were
in.
Doing a couple of lines during the recording?
I suspect, yes. Yeah. Okay. Insert your own 1984. Do a couple of lines out here. Really well done. Really nicely observed. Very funny. Quite sweet. Told from the perspective of someone who was there, whose daughter is now grown up and the daughter's off to university, and trying to explain the importance of Live Aid and Band Aid and what it did and why it was culturally significant. Nicely political, some very amusing Margaret Thatcher stuff. There's a certain sense of the daughter in it is kind of like, but what did it change? It didn't change anything.
Right.
And she probably has a point. there is a kind of, I found myself getting kind of wound up. And also the visceral hatred of Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, okay.
Even though she's played as a comic character in this, kind of like, man, that took me back. That took me back to some dark times.
Okay.
But music's great. Performances are fantastic. It's incredibly loud, but tuneful. Just a sheer wall of sound stuff. But I think it's only on to the end of February or March.
All right. Okay.
So if you want to go... But it's if you came through that era like I did, as a sort of teenager in the 80s, really good.
Well, I was also a teenager in the 80s. I came through all sorts of things. So there you go.
Just. Yeah, I have too many jokes. Too many jokes, and we don't give.
Probably listening to some of those artists. Sometimes, yeah. Did they have a good Bono character?
They didn't. That's the thing. They didn't really do it as characters, apart from Bob Geldof.
So, yeah.
Everybody else is just kind of little snippets of songs and things. So there's no one kind of necessarily playing. No one's dressing up as Freddie Mercury.
Oh, they weren't like.
I thought that would have
been the fun part. Seeing somebody dress up like George Michael, Boy George.
It's
Bananarama.
I guess the only other one is kind of Midge. The Midge character is. So there's a little bit of Ultravox and the writing of the song and the TV broadcast that inspired the song, etc. It's very cleverly done without it being kind of sort of pastiche tribute jukebox musical.
So, okay.
Yeah, it was a lot better. I thought I'd enjoy it, but it was a lot better.
There you go.
Than I thought it was. So what about you? What have you been?
Well, if I may recommend a couple things. Do one now. Before I came here this morning, I went down Seven Dials, Monmouth Street, try this new matcha bar, Korean matcha bar. I don't know what necessarily makes it different than, say, Japanese, but it's called Tokia. It's tiny. It's lovely. You can only have sort of like maybe a few people in at a time. So... because they have like these two little stations where you go and you give them your order and they make the matcha in front of you. They got like a little scale, they got the little whisking bowl and everything. And you just stand there. It feels quite intimate and almost like you're getting to experience a little bit of artisanship and craft rather than somebody just making a drink for you. And I just had a basic matcha. It was delicious. I'm going to go back soon probably and get maybe a little more adventurous flavored thing, but just want to see how the matcha is and how it was prepared, and I really enjoyed that. It was delicious. Also got a salt bread, like it's kind of like a Korean pastry with a matcha cream, and that was delicious as well. Really enjoyed it. And while I was on Monmouth Street, I noticed no worries. Okay, let's just break for a moment to mention that we got cookies and they look like they're about to ooze off the plate. This looks like here's Star. That looks so good. I want to take a photograph of milk and cookies. All right, we're still recording. That's great. Neil might start eating a cookie while I'm blathering. But speaking of sweets and Monmouth Street, so while I was on Monmouth Street, I noticed Lacrids by Bulow.
Oh, man. It's a good cookie.
It's a good cookie? I'll have one in a minute. Look at that ooze. Oh. That's nice. Yeah. But yeah, Lacrids by Bulow, the famous Norwegian licorice maker.
This is very dangerous to know.
Now has a shop in London. I don't know how long it's been there, but that's the first time I've walked by it. I think I heard tell it was coming, but I didn't know it was open yet. And I'm sure we've mentioned him on here before. I know I, when I was in Oslo, I made a beeline to get some. Just maybe the best licorice in the world. And now they've been at Selfridges. They had a concession at Selfridges, I think. But now they got their own.
No, I've spent a lot of money.
Relatively big shop.
Like concessions.
They're good, huh? They're good, 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 good. So
yeah, they are something, as you mentioned, so before we press record, it is something you can... ration yourself on.
Yes, so
it's also something you can sit down and eat an entire tub of,
and then feel like an entire tub. Yeah, yeah, but they're good, and yeah, you can sort of have like a mindfulness moment. They'll do like a lot of like little licorice bites in chocolate, sometimes flavored. Just some, I think the best is just the milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate is great.
It is kind of a mindfulness moment. It is kind of a mindfulness moment. You just enjoy the flavor, and that's the last thing.
They're big. They're intensely flavored. So.
Yes. And you know, I'm going to enjoy the flavor of this cookie while you maybe talk about something else you've done.
Continue the Korean theme for a while, or the comfort eating thing.
Either.
So the comfort eating, I dipped into, literally dipped into Frit Atelier.
Frit Atelier.
It's a posh chip shop in Soho on Old Compton Street. There is a sense of, you know, just how good can chips get in order to justify whatever is kind of $6.95 for the basic portion of chips with different sauces and vinegar powder, and you choose your toppings. And they can get really, really good. excellent chips. And also, we got fish and chips from our local place the other night. And I think it was £5, £5.50 for a portion of chips there. It's the creation as a European Michelin star chef called Sergio Herman. Nope, me neither.
Sergio Herman.
Yeah, he's the creative force behind it. There are branches of this in Antwerp and Ghent and Brussels. So it's the classic Belgian frit idea. The signature dish is a kind of slow-cooked beef stew on top of these chips, which is what I had. It was delicious. It's about £13. It's a really lovely, warming, hale and hearty lunch for probably the price of a pret-a-manger these days. And there are these fantastic ceramic jars if you eat in with a little tap, so you can get basil mayo and flavored sauces and flavored mayos and stuff that you add to your chips. It's really good. Kind of annoyingly good.
All right, Would you go back?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There is a cheeseburger on the menu as well, which I feel I may need to go and try at some point. I suspect if they're doing simple things well, you would hope they'd get that absolutely spot on.
I agree.
So, and then my other eating recently that I really, really enjoyed is Koba. On Rathbone Place, kind of Fitzrovia. It's been there 20-odd years.
I've been there ages ago, but
it was probably one of the early mainstream Korean barbecue places in London. I assume that Koba, the name, is Korean barbecue. It is no longer Korean barbecue.
Oh no.
They have
the
lady who founded it has
Lady Koba.
Has restaurants across Paris. She's taken she opened a British cafe, I believe in Seoul, and then took that concept to Paris.
Okay.
So there is a Korean
why not? A
Korean cafe doing British breakfasts in Paris, and apparently doing very well. She's always been very good at kind of pushing boundaries and going, okay, now this idea is done, let's move on to the next phase. So now her argument is other people are doing Korean barbecue, there's a lot of Korean barbecue available. She wanted to open or convert Koba to this kind of restaurant you now get in Seoul, kind of modern Korean influence brasserie, kind of bistro. You can book the private dining room. There's sort of a Korean barbecue speakeasy, if you like, downstairs.
Uh-huh.
It's still barbecue on the menu. Only, as I said, this time it's cooked by someone who knows what they're doing, as opposed to a chunky, bald, middle-aged, beardy bloke going, is this cooked? Which is probably better for everybody else at the table with me. Really great food, really delicious. generous of portion, generous of all the little snacky things and the toppings and all the bits and pieces you get, the side dishes. Set lunch about 45 quid, I think it is, for kind of 3-4 courses.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely splendid. Really, really lovely. Very, very delicious food. Heartily, heartily recommend. If, as I say, if you haven't been to Cobra for a while, possibly because it's just another Korean barbecue place, it isn't. Go. Okay. It's really, really good.
All right, okay.
And there's a very, very good set lunch, kind of a snack bowl-y kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
For, I think it was 2 courses for 15, something like that. It's a really, really good deal.
Okay.
And the food is terrific.
So. Very nice. Well, speaking of nice lunches,
buy this other cookie.
I think we need actually take a moment just to say there was a plate of cookies and 2 glasses of milk brought out here. We ordered them, but still, when it came, it was delightful, and they're delicious. And I haven't had gooey cookies like that in a long time, and cookies and milk. I don't remember the last time I had cookies and milk. Yeah, that's good. But anyway, so speaking of lunch, I had a great lunch the other day in the city on Ironmonger's Row at City Cafe, Vietnamese restaurant. And I knew they were there, but I honestly just happened upon it walking from point A to B, point B, and stopped, had lunch. It was amazing. So I had like essentially like a rice bowl with some deep fried spring rolls that were just there's so much flavor, so good. It was delicious. Great place. I think pho is like their main thing. Most people around me were eating pho, and it looked good. I could sit next to this guy. He was slurping and making all these noises that were driving me crazy. But the other time, I was like, yeah, I kind of understand. Yeah, he was having a moment. But anyway, City Cafe was so good, man. Yeah, and I'm just looking at my calendar for when I'm going to be back in that area for work. Because I'm going to build my day around another lunch there. It was so good.
Keep me posted on that one.
Yes, that sounds very much. Really, really good.
Very much my cup of tea.
And then one more place. Also, I think I've mentioned these guys before. Luck Brothers, convenience store in Hackney Wick. I was riding my bike down that way the other day and stopped in. I hadn't been there for a while. I just had this beautiful bowl of braised, slow-cooked brisket. There's some like really caramely kind of carrots and stuff in there over a bed of jasmine rice. And it was a cold day. I'd been riding my bike. Steam's coming up off this plate of food, and it was amazing. That place is such a nice little hidden gem. I think that was under 12 quid. Totally hit the spot. It was kind of exactly what I wanted at that moment, being outside, getting some exercise, and being cold out, and then just step into a tiny little shop. They're so friendly there, and they're always playing amazing music. It's as if as soon as I walk in, I've only been there a few times, but as soon as I walk in, something registers, like, oh, we need to play a Cure song from the 1980s. I'm like, yeah, all right. So, and then it's great. So, Luck Brothers convenience store. And
yeah, that's it's been on my list since you mentioned it. Well, I think that has to get nudged back up the list.
Well, we'll head down that way together, maybe.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan.
You're not allowed to do that twice, aren't you? I've done it twice, and there's still a half a cookie waiting, and people outside of this cafe are looking at us like, why are they hogging
this table? We're eating cookies very slowly. Yeah, I think we should probably, somewhere under the hubbub. What is that playing?
The Year Was Strange, but enough. That might need, when you edit this, Neil, you might need to really crank it so it's doing the din and
testing the noise cancelling of these mics at the phone today.
Yes, but and
so if somebody wants to sort of track you down in between,
I'm mostly, as far as social media goes, I'm mostly just on our own at All Consume Pod Instagram. I'll be posting on there. How about you?
Yes, also mostly Instagram as Dine Hard as ever. There will be photos of cookies going up later today. I'm sure there'll be photos of that ham, egg, and chip sandwich going up, and it won't, and I'm not going to leave it this number of years until I come back.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, man. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.